Thank you very much, Chris.
Well, Jim, big interest in the book. And I suppose, first of all, a point I wanted to ask you, was it always your idea to do something like this, or was the seed planted in your head from some other source?
I suppose the latter, to be honest with you, Chris. A number of people sort of made contact after that I had stepped away from the team. But I just didn't feel it was the right time, and I just didn't sort of, I wasn't sure what the book was going to be and what it would look like, or I suppose the meaning or the value of doing one. And then Gil McMillan, the publishers that I've gone with, I suppose came and spoke about doing something different that maybe might, I suppose, open up a different sort of conversation in terms of life in general, as well as the sporting context. And then I thought maybe that there could be a bit of value in it, and that's how it sort of developed.
Yeah, and the book, Keith Duggan of the Irish Times, a journalist, assisted you in it, and a guy from Ballyshannon, and somebody, I suppose, with the local knowledge as well. That was a factor in probably making it easier for you.
That was a big factor in making the decision to do it as well, because obviously Keith, first and foremost, he's one of the best journalists, if not the sports journalist in the country at the moment, and a beautiful writer, and also a Donegal man that was a Donegal fan and was part of the process and part of a lot of the experiences that we've had over the last 4 or 5 years, and so had the context very, very much clearly in his mind, and also somebody who has interviewed me, I suppose, since I started playing for Donegal. So we go back a long, long way, and we go back before that to our days playing basketball against each other at secondary school level. So there was a long, long, long history there, and it was a lot of trust within the relationship, and I think that was probably central to how the book developed as well and what the book became.
Now, as I opened the cover, one of the first things I read is, "To my family, the team, and all those who shared the journey." And it is that journey that you have traced in the book, and the odd deviation here and there. There's a lot about sport, but it's also about family, about life. And I suppose you're making the point also that life and Gaelic games for so many people are interwoven together.
Very, very much so, and I suppose last night that conversation came up as well, and the fact that sport in particular can be a vehicle to engage people and to for growth and for people to move forward in their life and to have a passion at the end of the day or the end of a week that sort of stimulates them and keeps them moving forward, and that was, I suppose, in many respects what we had within the group. We had a very close-knit family, if you like, of people that were totally focused on doing the best that they could do for Donegal and trying to move the county onto a new level in terms of our preparations and our approach. And I think that was a big part of the overall thing for us in terms of our togetherness and where we came from.
And for many people, I know you touched on it last night, personal tragedies, and the GAA, you know, it can be a valve also. It can help people's mental strength. You spoke about, after your brother Charles had died, about out-training, how his friends had said about he would have made a great county minor, and it inspired you, and you were out on your own in all sorts of bad weather, and it was a belief you had that you could do it. And then in later years, belief is an important word in your vocabulary. The whole Donegal team, prior to you were there, there was a lot of people who felt Donegal might have been knocking at the door, but just didn't quite have it. And you touch on this in the book about Tyrone and Armagh and facing them. They knew they could beat Donegal, but it wasn't always the other way around.
No, and it's testimony to the work that the boys have put in and the achievements that they have gained over the last number of years that we're in that position now, Chris, to be honest with you. And other teams look at Donegal now as a very tough nut to crack, and I suppose going into the job, that was one of the biggest things, to be honest with you. You know, there was a feeling really that, you know, it was very difficult for us to break into that cycle of Tyrone and Armagh, who were dominating football at provincial level, And personally, I felt that we needed to be able to do that in order to have a chance of going on to try and win the All-Ireland, because I feel that if you can't win your province, it's very difficult then, you know, to look in the mirror and say, OK, we're good enough to win the All-Ireland. So Ulster became a very, very big goal for us in terms of trying to create a new space for ourselves so we could then try and push on and go for bigger goals on the back of that. And that started with the under-21s, and that process started with the under-21s, and that followed through into the seniors. And that sort of laid the platform then, you know, to get that feedback about yourself as a player and about the team that you play for, and you know, that we can compete at this level, and then we compete maybe at the national stage as well. And that was a huge part of our motivation in terms of starting out and developing the group to that very first championship.
Well, you were there back in 92, and obviously the celebrations there, but the whole aura of Croke Park and the atmosphere, that stayed with you down through the years and was again a motivating factor, that Croke Park feeling.
It's a very, very funny one, because the two All-Ireland weeks in 1992 and 2012, in many respects, were almost mirror images of each other, you know. And I remember vividly the build-up to the first one and the celebration. And as I said before, being on the bus with the players for a week after that, and both occasions, and the experience of coming into Donegal Town and then the rest of the county, it was incredible to go through that process and then to have the privilege of doing it again then as manager, and sort of retracing your footsteps. And you know, I knew myself, because I had been there the first time around, how special that was, and so I suppose I had a deeper appreciation of it when it was happening the second time around, and I could enjoy watching the players enjoying it, and that was something really, really special. And I think the players have done that; they've created something very, very special, and continue to do so.
I suppose so much of the foundations for 2012 were really laid with the under-21s, between some of the players coming through and your own managerial term with the under-21s. And it was interesting to read in the book, I have to say I was still reading it at 2 o'clock this morning, and a thoroughly enjoyable read. Even for people maybe who don't have a GAA background, just the whole flow and the thought process of things. You had a group of young players down at the Ora Leisure Centre in Letterkenny. You spoke about trust, and you got them to roar at the top of their voices for a minute flat. That might have surprised a few people.
Well, it definitely surprised a few people that was in the Ora Centre that night, I know, I can assure you. but they did it. And then, so the trust thing became very, very important. And it became important because championship football, I suppose, it's very cut and thrust. It's in or out. And you've got to have people that you can trust. And teammates need teammates that they can trust. And that became a very strong mantra for us in terms of the time that I spent with the team. And, you know, there wasn't many occasions, very, very rarely, when they weren't there for each other and backed each other and also give everything that they had in their bodies. And I think if you get that from a player and you get that from a group, there's not a lot you can ask over and above that. And then it becomes about, you know, were they set up correctly, and did we have the right system in place, and do we have the right tactics for the game? But if the players bring the right attitude and the mentality, it makes the manager's job a lot easier. And I have to say that I was blessed in that regard, because the players, just every single night, you know, they challenge themselves and they stretch themselves and they push themselves to very, very high limits. And we pushed them as well in terms of what we asked of them physically. And every single night you could see them moving forward and trying to develop and grow. And that was probably the most special thing about the overall experience, that you're working with people with that mindset and moving every single night in a forward direction. It's a very unusual thing. It's a very unusual thing in life, and it's a very unusual thing in sport. And we had that for the period. And regardless what was being said about us outside the county and how much criticism was going on about the team, we knew that's what was within the group, and that's what made the group special and defined the group. And we were very, very proud of that, you know.
Do you think it's fair to say, I mean, it was a cultural difficulty, that some of the antics that had gone on before, and we hear all the stories about the drinking and the celebrating, and also tied into the fact maybe that was an excuse for not having the belief that more achievement could follow?
It's hard to know. You know, it's hard to know. I'm not going to judge any other manager, but all I know is, you know, when we came together and Downing's for the very first time in the very first meeting, we got that commitment on the very first day, and we got that traction in the very first day, and everything flowed from that afterwards. And we had goals in our mind. We were looking at key areas that we were trying to push percentages in, and we just started getting after them. And we weren't perfect in many respects, and I suppose year one really was about consolidating a very solid structure that would protect the boys in many respects. Because I suppose one of the things that was in my mind going into the game, into the first year with the seniors, was the 21s had been like a blank canvas, and it had been just so enjoyable and so much fun and so much energy and positivity. And you were giving them information and they were taking it and trying to use it over and over and over again. And it was fantastic with the 21s. But very quickly with the seniors, you got the feeling that, you know, that they had been battle-hardened, and they had been in a lot of very good situations in terms of provincial finals and stuff, and hadn't got over the line, and were maybe carrying that a bit. And so it was important that we set the team up in a way that we didn't get that hammering on the big day, and we didn't get that expectation building and then to be crushed again. And so that was one of the reasons why we took the approach that we did in 2011. And then obviously we weren't good enough at the tail end of that season on the scoreboard, which was reflected in the Dublin match. And then we had to go back and we really had to think hard about how we could stretch the percentages in the offensive side of the game. And that's what we did over the course of the 4 years with them, just kept looking for areas that we can move forward in. And every single time we did that, the players responded to that. And I must say as well, because the players were hugely influential in the decision-making around a lot of them processes as well. And we would evaluate every single game. And on the back of that, they were bringing incredible craft knowledge, if you like, about what was going on out on the pitch. And we would try and use that information, reintegrate it into the system with a view to trying to make it better. So it became everybody from management and players, we were all involved in the process of trying to make Donegal better with a view to being successful out on the pitch.
And some of the changes were pretty big. For example, Rory Kavanagh, and we've heard about the programme that he went on, about building up his strength, and he was putting on weight, becoming physically stronger to compete in centre field, and costing him, I note in the book, he told you that later it cost him around €70 extra a week. And I suppose that typifies the sort of attitude and commitment that was there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Ryan Bradley was going the other direction. He was running the roads and becoming leaner and trimmer to be able to do that job. And every single one of them were given that sacrifice of gym work. Most of them were doing it at 7 o'clock in the morning. Some of them in the evenings, but it was definitely Monday, Wednesday, Friday minimum, and depending on what they needed then. And then we were training Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. So it was 7 days a week for that period, and every single one of them, to a man, embraced that and looked to develop their own body to get ready for what was being asked of them out on the pitch. And I think there was a period where, when you looked out onto the pitch and you could see the speed and the power and the aerobic capacity of the players, it gave you a great sense of pride that, in terms of the amount of work that they had done, but also a great sense of confidence that it would take a very good team to beat us, because we were bringing so much to the table in terms of our physical and technical and psychological aspects. And that was really important. And I suppose we became mentally strong because we knew we were doing all the right things. And we weren't cutting corners, and we were preparing very hard. We were working very hard, and then we were going into the competitive environment, and we'd be successful, and that was building confidence. And it just grew and developed like that.